Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 30th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 41 of Who's Reading the Organon. We'll be reading aphorism number 7 plus footnotes. I'm so happy we have passed our milestone of the 40th show, and we're very excited to be moving on into the next cycle of development. I believe Vera is here with us.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Vera. We're going to start in with the couple of inspirational quotes. One from Twitter, shouted out to Doc Marion, and it was retweeted by Jason L. Neff, says, "There is more wisdom in your body than in your deepest philosophy." I wonder if anybody can guess who quote, that's a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. And he's right on, isn't he? Right in there with the Organon. And then we have another quote by Rotivation, retweeted by Miss Terry McMillan. And it says, "Try to live a proactive life. Make things happen. Otherwise, you will simply react to things that happen to you." And I think that's something we might want to live by. Be the person who's right there at the forefront and maybe more in control of yourself, of what you're doing, or the person who's making the decisions based on your inner self rather than something that's happening to you. On the news front, there was the protest June 29th. That was yesterday in Brighton Center, London.
"So I feel history repeats itself. There is opposition when a group feels they will lose their standing in the community, when they will lose monetary gain, when they will lose trust in the eyes of the people. The medical system is having a very difficult time right now with so much iatrogenic disease, with the cost of drugs, with the dependency of so many people on daily medications, and the high cost of tests and hospitalizations. When someone stands to lose power, then they begin a campaign of propaganda. However, the people can see through this screen, and many are flocking to alternative care. A report in from someone on the scene in London says that the protest in Brighton was on a weekday, so it was really hard for the working people to get to the protest. There was a show of about 60 people that included homeopaths, patients, and students. The Society of Homeopaths and the League of Friends of the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital had banners that said, 'Homeopathy Heals' and 'Homeopathy Waiting for Science to Catch Up.' The Royal London Homeopathic Hospital provides 30,000 patient appointments per year, and most of them are referred by general practitioners. There are also research projects that include homeopathic treatments for depression and eczema. At the scene was a 97-year-old lady who attended the protest. She had only used homeopathy during her entire lifetime. The press snapped photos of a dog who had been treated with homeopathy, and journalists included the BBC Sussex Radio and a few local newspapers. So please check on HWC for any further news having to deal with this issue."
And that's about it for what's going on in London. I want you to make a correction to something that I misspoke in yesterday's radio show. When I was reading The Guide to Homeopathic Medicine and Philosophy by Banerjee, he states that the prima causa morbi as one thing, and then, or maintaining cause, which is the causa occasionalis, as the second thing, were symptoms. So I didn't want to confuse or mix anyone up. The prima causa morbi is the exciting cause, and then the maintaining cause is the causa occasionalis. Apologies to everyone for that. And I guess we're ready to go ahead into aphorism number 7.
Okay, I'll start reading. Just a quick view back to aphorism 6. Aphorism 6, we were talking about how the physician should only notice the deviations from the former healthy state. Now, in aphorism 7, Hanuman is saying, now, as in a disease from which no manifest exciting or maintaining cause, causa occasionalis, has to be removed, we can perceive nothing but the morbid symptoms. It must regard being had to the possibility of a miasm and attention paid to the accessory circumstances. It must be the symptoms alone by which the disease demands and points to the remedy suited to relieve it. And moreover, the totality of these, its symptoms, of this outwardly reflected picture of the internal essence of the disease, that is, of the affection of the vital force, must be the principle or the sole means whereby the disease can make known what remedy it requires, the only thing that can determine the choice of the most appropriate remedy. And thus, in a word, the totality of the symptoms must be the principle, indeed the only thing the physician has to take note of in every case of disease and to remove by means of his art, in order that the disease shall be cured and transformed into health. Here, what's interesting to me as I notice it, just looking at the word totality, I don't know about you, Debbie. I always thought, as I was growing up in homeopathy, when I was a little homeopath, I always thought totality meant personality, meant the total of who the person is, what they do, what their personality is. I always thought that's what it was. And here, Hanuman is saying something completely different, which if only we would read more carefully when we learn these things the first time, rather than just listen to others reading or to others teaching.
Yeah, so maybe also when you hear the word constitutional.
When you hear the word constitutional, but the thing is that here Hanuman is giving a very specific and very clear meaning of the word totality. Totality is the morbid symptoms. It's the totality of the morbid symptoms. It's not the totality of the person, whether he likes swimming or whether he likes steak. It's totality of morbid symptoms, which puts a whole different light on things. That's the way I'm seeing it from this aphorism.
The totality is the derangement that we're looking at from the outside. This inward reflected picture from the internal essence that's now showing a picture to us.
And that totality is the only thing that can determine the choice mm-hmm. of the most appropriate remedy. So personally, I find that very interesting, because very often you hear people yelling totality, totality, and it seems that very often nobody completely understands what they're talking about.
We've not really defined it very well, but here is an opportunity for us to do that and to understand what Hanuman's meaning is. So this is mm-hmm. a very good learning for us, at least for me, and maybe...
certainly for me, yeah, definitely.
Good enlightenment here. So mm-hmm. now we can know when we use this word totality what we're talking about. And that includes the manifesting exciting cause and the maintaining cause, or
no,
not?
No. This refers to a disease. Now let's go back to the beginning of the aphorism, where Hanuman says, now... as in a disease from which no manifest exciting or maintaining cause has to be removed, we can perceive nothing but the morbid symptoms. So we're looking at a situation where no manifest exciting or maintaining cause has to be removed. It's either been dealt with or there was nothing very clear. All we see mm-hmm. in this disease that he's giving us an example is the morbid symptoms.
Okay. So if the person's smoking, which was a previous example, mm-hmm. The person stopped smoking. So then the cough should go away if there's no derangement. They automatically return to their state of health. But if there is an internal affection disorder, then the person's going to still continue to cough. Is that correct?
I see this aphorism more as telling us what to look at, what to look for when we're dealing with a case. So mm-hmm. I don't see it yet as going into the analysis of what happens with smoking or without smoking or different exciting or maintaining causes. Although he does go into that a bit in the footnote, which we'll have a look.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying if you have a situation, like let's say you have a situation where someone has a cough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no issue with smoking or with having been in a polluted room. Either these issues have been dealt with or they weren't there in the first place. Saying if you have a situation where we're putting aside any issues of exciting or maintaining cause, no manifest exciting or maintaining cause needs to be removed. We're not looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we have in front of us are morbid symptoms. These morbid symptoms are the symptoms alone by which the disease demands and points to the remedy suited to relieve it. In the same way as you have a child, let's say, who's sick. You know that nothing got up his nose or in his ear, or if it did, it was removed. But let's say nothing. You know that there was no problem with spoiled food or anything like that. You have in front of you a child who is sick. The child is screaming and bright red with a high fever. And this to me is an example of the symptoms alone by which the disease demands and points to the remedy suited to relieve it. Every homeopath looking at this child doesn't see a child, they see belladonna screaming for attention, right?
Right.
One of the few things that a lot of homeopaths would agree on. It's these symptoms. The totality of these its symptoms, of this outwardly reflected picture of the internal essence of the disease. This is the only thing that can determine the choice of the most appropriate remedy. And thus, in a word, the totality. The red face, the fever, the hyper of the kid, the
mm-hmm. Screaming.
The screaming, the glazed eyes, the totality of the morbid symptoms. The fact that this child, when he is well, collects stuffed animals is not important to us. The idea that the child, when well, likes to be on their own is not important to us. What's important to us is now, the totality now of the morbid symptoms.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And kind of, I don't know if I'm getting pickier or not, but if there's a manifesting, exciting, maintaining cause, and we do not know what that is. In other words, the person didn't eat something. I don't know, why is this child in a state of belladonna picture? I mean, did they actually have something in their environment that caused that? What? That's my confusion here.
Well, what I'm saying is that the issue that you're raising is one that Hahnemann deals with in subsequent aphorisms. When we talk about exciting or maintaining cause, what Hahnemann's trying to show us now is that if exciting cause and maintaining cause are not part of the picture at present,
mm-hmm.
nothing has to be removed, then what we see in front of us are the morbid symptoms which cry out their remedy if we're looking closely enough. I mean, he also says he rules out two things from this example that he's giving here. One is that no manifest exciting or maintaining cause has to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, and we've already considered the possibility of miasm and paid attention to accessory circumstances. And here he points us to aphorism 5. You see, he's presenting what to look at in this situation where there's no manifest exciting or maintaining cause to take into account and miasms have been dealt with. What are we left with? Morbid symptoms.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting it. I mean, if there's a child who needs belladonna, then I think of scarlet fever, I think of strep throat, I think of something that's a causal factor.
The reason why you're not getting it is simply because you need to take a step back and look at the purpose of aphorism 7. Aphorism 6 and 7 are telling us what do we need to look at when we're taking the case. We're looking at what is different, what's the deviation from health. That's aphorism 6. In aphorism 7, he's saying, if exciting or maintaining cause is not a problem and miasm has been dealt with, and accessory circumstances. What are we looking at then? In Aphorism 6, Hahnemann is presenting us the situation where what do we need to notice in the case? Only the deviations from health. Now, the purpose of Aphorism 7 is not to give you a full discussion of complete case-taking. The purpose of Aphorism 7 is to say, if there's no manifest exciting or maintaining cause, it's been dealt with. If the issue of miasm and accessory circumstances has been dealt with, then what do we have left? The symptoms by which the disease declares itself. Now, you are 100% right that if we're taking a regular case of a kid and we'll be asking, you know, did anything start it? Did anything cause it? Maybe something did. We'll be checking that out. That's correct, I think. But here, Hahnemann is presenting a structure. He's not presenting a full example of case taking.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's worthwhile just to hop down to the footnotes, because maybe that will clarify.
Can I give an example of, you have a child and you've checked, is it the diapers? Are they hungry? Do they need to be cleaned? You've checked all of those things, that, and the kid is still crying or screaming.
That's, for example, if we go into the footnote, this is what Hahnemann says. Hahnemann says in the first footnote on Aphorism 7, this is a very rich aphorism, it's got two footnotes. I hope we have time to complete everything.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's not necessary to say that every intelligent physician would first remove this where it exists. The indisposition thereupon generally ceases spontaneously. He will remove from the room strong-smelling flowers, which have a tendency to cause syncope and hysterical sufferings. Extract from the cornea the foreign body that excites inflammation of the eye. Loosen the overtight bandage on a wounded limb that threatens to cause mortification and apply a more suitable one. Lay bare and put a ligature on the wounded artery that produces fainting. Endeavor to promote expulsion by vomiting of belladonna berries, etc., that may have been swallowed. Extract foreign substances that may have got into the orifices of the body, the nose, the gullet, ears, urethra, rectum, vagina. Crush the vesicle calculus. Open the imperforate anus of the newborn infant, etc. So, Debbie, with regard to your example, Hahnemann is saying, we've done that. Now what's left? He's saying, we don't need to say even that we're doing that because it's obvious. We're doing that. Now what's left? And what's left are the symptoms that point to the remedy needed.
Okay.
So I think that helps to define it. In all times, the old school physicians, not knowing how else to give relief, have sought to combat and, if possible, to suppress by medicines here and there a single symptom from among a number in diseases. A one-sided procedure, which under the name of symptomatic treatment, has justly excited universal contempt, because by it, not only was nothing gained, but much harm was inflicted. A single one of the symptoms present is no more the disease itself than a single foot is the man himself. This procedure was so much the more reprehensible that such a single symptom was only treated by an antagonistic remedy, wherefore only in an enantiopathic and palliative manner, whereby after a slight alleviation it was subsequently only rendered all the worse. I don't see any difference to modern medicine, do you?
I think he's talking about modern medicine. He's talking about, take this pill for your GERD, take this for your gas, take this for your burning eyes. There's something for everything. Just go walk through the pharmacy and see the shelves lined with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not doing anything about a totality. We know that for sure.
But I don't hear any universal contempt, do you?
No, I think it's because today we just want to fix the problem and make it go away and not have to deal with it. And they, if it's a quick and easy fix, which it seems to be at first, where he says there's a slight alleviation, but there's what's called rebound. And then they have to go get something else to deal with that problem. I don't think it's any different from his time. That's why I said at the beginning, history repeats itself. So let's learn something from Hahnemann.
Okay, so now the question is this aphorism clear to us?
It's getting clearer. The reason why, and maybe other people are in the same boat as me, is because in a way, we kind of look for cause and effect. If something is not exactly right, then something must be off balance. Something must not be right. And what's causing it is there's, you know, if you're looking at a balance scale and there's too much weight on one side, then the scale is not balanced equally. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
So we're looking for that.
I see what you're saying, and I think part of the discussion has to relate also to what Hanuman said before and to the word manifest in this mm-hmm. aphorism. He says, no manifest exciting or maintaining cause has to be removed. I think that what happens is if someone comes to a physician with a problem and there is something that is very clear, exciting or maintaining, for example, the examples he gives in the footnotes, the strong smelling flowers, the foreign body in the eye, the all kinds of things that that certainly the MD homeopaths can treat immediately, mm-hmm. and the non-MD homeopaths work together with MDs to treat. Now these things have been dealt with, there is no manifest exciting or maintaining cause. I think that the problem is the tendency where there's nothing manifest, nothing else that I can see, and the patient is still sick, even though we removed the foreign body, we did all the various procedures that were necessary. We start speculating about cause. Mm-hmm. We start speculating about an emotional cause. We start hunting for a cause where there is no manifest cause in front of us. And there's the risk. I think in a way maybe that's what Hanuman means with this aphorism, that he wants to point us towards that and say we can perceive nothing but the morbid symptoms. And the morbid symptoms are what will tell us.
It's becoming much more clear to me as you speak these words that...
I'll give an example which I think fits this. I had a patient who was coughing for several years. She had a cough that sounded like a real smoker's cough, and she'd never smoked a cigarette. She'd gone to doctors for over these years. She'd had every test imaginable. Nothing was helping. She came to me. I think she didn't have any very high expectation. By the time she'd come to me, the doctors had put her on gastro medication. They decided that the cough was from a reflux. They had no proof the cough was from a reflux. They had tested and not found anything to say that, anything to imply that, and the medication was having no effect. So here what was happening was an allopathic process where the doctors were looking for a cause and wanted to treat based on that cause. They couldn't find a cause, so they were guessing. They were going through various systems, guessing, and giving medications based on the guess. And then what the expectation was that if she responded to the gastro medication, that would bear out the assumption that the problem was reflux, and that was why she was coughing.
They were using the hypothetical speculation of the previous aphorism.
So the patient said to me, do you know what's causing it? And I said, no.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's causing it.
And so we don't really need to know what's causing it after we've cleared the manifesting and maintaining cause.
I was looking at the symptoms of the case, and this particular case, the symptoms seemed to be asking for mm-hmm. calcium. So that's what I gave, and it helped. So the only proof that gives me is that this was a calcium disease or a close to calcium disease. It still doesn't tell me what caused her cough. Mm-hmm. I still don't know.
Okay. So we finished aphorism number 7 plus the 2 footnotes. And if you have any closing statement.
Look at what's in front of you. Something mm-hmm. like that.
Nothing that I can see needs to be removed or changed. So don't speculate. Just take care of what's right in front of you. How's that? Okay, that's our time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I thought even though it was a difficult aphorism and difficult for me to really understand, I think that other people might have the same difficulty, and it really helped to go through it that way.
Yeah, it was very helpful for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon? With homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.